You're welcome to another episode of Writing Lessons From. My name is Jenny, and in this blogcast, I read out the blog posts, articles, thoughts that I have written on some form of storytelling. So a TV show, film, podcast, game, book is the obvious one. And I break it apart to see what writing lessons and what storytelling lessons we can find in them. And today we are looking at Ghostbusters Afterlife. Before we get into that though, hello, how are you? How are you? It's been an exciting week here. My new novel, a Christmas romance novel, Yellow Petals at Christmas, released on Tuesday. It's now available in ebook format on Amazon and Kindle Unlimited, and it will be available elsewhere, but not until next year as an ebook. And it is available paperback on Amazon, and it should be available elsewhere as a paperback. I haven't actually looked and checked that it's available. I haven't had a chance to yet. I'm quite new to publishing paperbacks wide away from Amazon. So I will have a look at that. If you're interested, I've put a link to the book in the show notes, so you can go and check it out if you want to. So if you're into Christmas romances, I do hope you'll go and check it out. I'll shut up now, and we're going to get on to Ghostbusters Afterlife, which, I nearly didn't record this one. I want Writing Lessons From to be full of joy and happiness, because the whole point of Writing Lessons From is that writing is fun. Storytelling is fun. I mean, I am completely obsessed right now with a TV show that I will probably write about eventually. And I am just finding so much joy in learning about the writing process, listening to interviews, you know, dissecting the characters. And that is what writing should be about. And I am going to spend the next 10 minutes complaining and ranting. And I'm going to have reasons behind it all, and I'm going to explain all those reasons. And yeah, sometimes in this thing that we do of storytelling, there's going to be things that make us angry. But yeah, I nearly didn't record this one. But, you know, that would be disingenuous, maybe? Is that the right word? To the whole Writing Lessons From thing. You know, I have published it before. It's part of it. We can't always be happy, happy. Sometimes we're going to be angry, angry. So here we go. I wasn't going to write this one. It feels blasphemous to even consider it. However, in the wake of all the promotion for the new Ghostbusters, Frozen Empire, I was reminded of Ghostbusters Afterlife and the conundrum I felt while watching it. Ghostbusters was a huge part of my childhood. Both original films developed my sense of humour, a huge crush on Dan Aykroyd, and probably the beginning of a fascination with the paranormal. I enjoyed the female-led Ghostbusters from 2016 and struggled to see why others didn't. Given the backlash from men, I'm particularly defensive of it, especially when those same men defend Afterlife. Don't get me wrong, I don't think Afterlife was bad. I just think it could have been so much better. And given how wrong it feels to say such things, I spent a lot of time thinking about why I feel this way. If you haven't yet watched Ghostbusters Afterlife, I mean, it's 2025, where have you been? From here on, there are Slimers. I mean, spoilers. Don't ask me where you can watch Ghostbusters Afterlife. I didn't even know when I wrote this. It was bouncing around the BBC at the time, in 2024, and I've just looked it up and Google just shrugs at me. Don't know. You have to buy it by the looks of it. It might be on Sky. Not a clue. Ghostbusters, what do you want? I'll tell you what I wanted. A film that continues the story with the characters we know and love, some nice little Easter eggs, and an original story. The characters bit is tricky, given the ages of everyone concerned now, so the introduction of new characters is understandable. And hey, why not make them kids? It gives the franchise longevity. It's a good business decision. Afterlife mainly follows the grandchildren of Ghostbuster Egon Spengler, who has passed away and left his old rickety house in the middle of nowhere to his estranged daughter. It's nice to be following Egon. I always felt he was hidden in the shadows of Ray, Dan Aykroyd, and Venkman, Bill Murray. This storytelling decision was most likely governed by the passing of Harold Ramis, who played Egon. Anyway, it turns out the old crackpot Spengler was onto something. Something dangerous. Something godly. Something repetitive. Yes, Gozar is coming back, along with Gatekeeper Zul. There is no Dana, only Zul. And the Keymaster, and Egon dies trying and failing to stop this from happening. That job now rests on the young shoulders of his granddaughter, with the help of her new friend, family, and schoolteacher, Paul Rudd, obviously. It's a great concept. It's not quite original, but there's a lot of potential. Do I sound cynical? Sorry if I sound cynical. I was pretty much on board with most of the film, until the third act. Have you seen Scream, the new one, where they go a bit meta and describe a requel, a mixture of a sequel and a remake, the kind of film that is all the rage these days as the big names in film don't feel able to take chances on anything original. And anyway, the world is burning and we all want to revert to our childhoods. Afterlife is a requel. And a requel should have an abundance of Easter eggs, those little gems hidden for real fans to spot and feel that wonderful warmth at being in on the joke. Arguably, Afterlife is jam-packed with Easter eggs. Until those Easter eggs stop being hidden gems and start being almost shot-for-shot scenes from the first film. This is the exact moment I lost interest. What did the script say exactly? Blah, 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 copy this from the original. My guess is that they wanted us fans to sit back happy in the knowledge that we knew exactly how Gozar was going to be brought forth, shot by shot, line by line, dress by dress. Instead, I sat back and started to think about other things, because I knew how this was going to play out. I'd seen it before. There is no excuse for lazy writing. I understand that this was probably a creative decision, but it was a lazy one. The writers couldn't have taken an hour or two to brainstorm something different. Anything different. Something original. We're a generation who grew up on these wonderful original comedies and concepts. We should be able to come up with our own stuff. You know what? I'm not cynical about this. I'm angry. Let's talk about that ending. The end of the film sees Ray, Venkman, and Winston arrive in the nick of time to help Spengler's family defeat Gozar. You probably knew it was coming. I certainly did. Still, that didn't stop me from bursting into tears the moment Egon's ghost turned up to help his granddaughter. On one hand, this was expected. Right from the beginning, it had to happen. And it's a heartwarming, wonderful moment when it does. But if there's one thing I hate in storytelling, it's being manipulated to tears. I am a perimenopausal woman who will sob at a charity advert. It is not difficult for a film to make me well up. Afterlife made me full on sob my heart out, and I resent it. Why? Because I couldn't figure out, even days after watching Afterlife, if I was crying because of great storytelling, or because they put an aged CGI Harold Ramis in front of me and stood him next to Ray, Venkman and Winston. It's sentimental. The story was sweet, but was it good enough to sob at? I'm not convinced. Let's look at the writing lessons. I don't think the ending here is the problem. I'm glad Egon showed himself. It was truly a beautiful moment that deserved a tear or two, and no more stupid hormones. The problem, as I see it, is what came directly before. Even if you're paying homage to a story, do not recreate it scene for scene. If I wanted to watch Gozar come back, I would just put on the first film, which was overall cleverer and funnier than Afterlife. I did appreciate the Easter eggs. I loved the story of Egon escaping to investigate more supernatural threats and of his granddaughter taking after him so much. But wouldn't it have been wonderful if the threat they faced had been something new and exciting? The big lesson in this one is originality. It is not a lesson learned quietly here. This film, if you can't tell, made me angry. Admittedly, some of that anger came from outside the storytelling. Jason Reitman, the director, openly dismissed and disparaged the female-led Ghostbusters film, presumably because he wasn't involved, as if this legacy belongs to him and his father, who directed the first two films. The female-led film had an original plot, while being a wonderful homage to the first two 80s films, and had the backing of the Ghostbusters creators and cast, while Afterlife was a rehash. The joy of jumping onto a franchise like this is to take the love and make it your own. And that didn't happen enough here. As writers, there is no excuse for a lack of creativity, playfulness, or imagination. Without those things, It becomes just a commercial venture to take the hard-earned money of the sentimental generation who grew up with the beginnings of something genius. I want to remind everyone that storytelling is art and art is subjective, and this is purely my own opinion. We're allowed to get angry when stories don't fulfill what we hope that they will. But I think the only reason to have anger in our lives is if we can make it productive. And the thing to take from, well, the thing I take from my anger towards this film is not to be a lazy writer. That's the main lesson I took from watching Afterlife. I kind of hope that if you have watched Ghostbusters Afterlife that you enjoyed it. I know a lot of people who have watched it and love it, and I'm really, really glad that people are watching it and loving it, that fans are watching it and loving it. I don't want people to get angry watching this. This is just my own personal opinion and how I felt about it. I hope you have a lovely week, storytellers, and I will be back with you next week. See you then. Bye.